Of you just believe right, and because of grace, you don't have to, you know, you just don't have to live in a particular way. But I got news for you. The Word of God tells us that we should be imitators of God. And you can't go out here and live like the devil and call yourself an imitator of God. So, want to keep that in mind. Also, if you live any way you want to live, what do you really believe? Do you really believe you're righteous? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ died to break the power of sin over you? And then we talked about some of the things that it says here that are not, it's not fitting for the behavior of saints. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to begin with verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. As I said in the bulletin, a lot of people go around all the time saying, I wish I knew the will of God. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what the will of God is for my life. And we begin to believe what we say. Generally speaking, unless a person knows that they're lying to start with, we believe what we say more than we believe what anybody else says. You know, you can tell somebody, you're a nice-looking person. You're a handsome man. You're a beautiful woman. And you can tell them that, and that may be what you believe. But they are going to be governed by what they believe, and they're going to speak it. One of the most astounding things that I've ever read about human nature. I was reading an article one day. It was about the supermodels, the world supermodels in the business industry. You know, clothes and jewelry, the ones that you know that are in all the fashion magazines and everything like that. Beautiful women. The biggest majority of those women believed when they were growing up that they weren't pretty. And I thought that just amazes me. It amazes me that people could see themselves so out of focus. And you know, when we get to thinking about the negative of not knowing God's will, the more we think about it, the harder it is for us to hear what He says. And we've got to know His will for us when we ask Him for it. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Amen? And then, I wish I knew what the will of God was. And I made a statement in the bulletin. You have a bulletin? We've got a bulletin real quick. I forgot to bring mine up here. I want to make sure I say it just right because it's kind of... Just like you can't wait until the symptoms are gone before you believe you're healed, you can't wait until you know before you believe you know God's will for you. Some of you say, well, that don't even make sense. Well, if you think about it for a minute, it does. When we declare that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus and we believe that healing, and we know that healing is already accomplished, what we do is we believe at that point that we're healed and we wait for the manifestation of it because it has to come. Some way or other, it has to come if we believe it. And so, when we ask God to show us His will, once we say that, once we have asked that, we need to believe that we got it right then. Well, I still don't know any more than I knew before I prayed. You should know that you prayed, and God said, if you pray according to My will, I hear you, And if I hear you, then I'll answer it and you'll have what you ask for. And so when you know before you know. You know by faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're hoping for the will of God to be done in your life. You're hoping to know what God wants you to do. Right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith means I understand that I've got it now. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. Not believe when it gets to you, but you believe when you pray. Do you order anything from off the internet or from department stores off the internet or out of catalog? Okay, so you see something in there, you order it. You call them up, you tell them you want this. You haven't seen it yet? It hasn't gotten to you yet? All you've done is make a phone call and tell them you wanted it. You pay the price, and they say, well, we'll ship it. I tell you what, when you do that, you get off the phone with them, you pick up the phone to your best friend, and you call them and you say, guess what I've got? Truth of the matter is, you got nothing. All you've got is a promise. You got a promise from that company that something that's been paid for is being shipped. But you act like you already had it. Now, putting that in a spiritual perspective. We ask God for something. The price has already been paid. We ask God for something. Lord, I need this. I would like this. Then we get through praying. We say, amen. And then we go out and say, I don't know. I wonder. You reckon it'll get here? You got more confidence in people on the internet than you got in God. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, we don't have a list of unrelated subjects in letters that are written, what we call the epistles. Generally speaking, one verse, the next verse, the previous verse, some way or another are connected. So verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is some way connected to verse 18. He didn't just say that and then say, now let me tell you something that's totally unrelated. Understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you want to understand what the will of God is? How do you do that? By being filled with the Spirit. Did you know something will guide you in everything that you choose to do? Some of you may at one time in your life, hopefully not now, but at one time in your life, you may have been guided a lot by alcohol. And it caused you to do things that you wish you hadn't done. You're guided by drugs. It'll cause you to do things when it's all over that you wish you hadn't done. But it's guiding you. It's focusing and directing your life. And when you're guided by something, you need to choose wisely what it is you choose to be guided by. And the best choice is to choose to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's hard to be guided by the Holy Spirit if every time something comes along, you're just simply going to do what you want to do, regardless of what happens. Lord, I want you to guide my life, but don't do it too much. Only in the parts that I want it guided in. Now, let me share something, and you're probably aware of this. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. And I'm not even sure how you pronounce this word, because I'll be honest with you, it was a new word to me. I had to look it up in the dictionary to get a grasp of what it actually means. But it was in the interlinear New Testament as a literal translation of the Greek word that's translated in the New King James Version as dissipation, and translated in the King James Version is excess. But this is the word. I think this is the way you pronounce it. Profligacy. Profligacy. To be caught into profligacy means loose living, wasteful, and extravagant spending. It actually literally means unsaving. In other words, instead of saving it, you waste it. So put that in there. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is wastefulness. Or which would be, do not be drunk with wine because it's just a waste. A waste of your money, a waste of your energy, a waste of your time. There's no good going to come from it. It will lead to loose living. But be filled with the Spirit. And that word filled is a word in the Greek that literally would translate into English based upon the conjugation of the Greek word as but be ye being filled over and over. Be ye being filled over and over. Keep yourself filled over and over. Keep yourself full of the Spirit of God. Raising the level over and over and over. Now that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, keep rededicating like we used to, you know, come to the altar every time we heard a message that brought us under conviction and rededicate again. It doesn't mean that you got to get rebaptized in the Holy Ghost every time you feel like you lost some of it. You didn't really lose it. It's still there. But you are filled not based upon what the Holy Spirit can do, but based upon what you do. I mean, the Holy Spirit can occupy a spot as big as small enough to put in your hand, or He can occupy a spot as big as this room. And it's not up to Him. It's up to you. Okay, so if we're supposed to be ye being filled, how then do we be ye being filled? Like I said, verses of Scripture are not unrelated. You be ye being filled by speaking. And I don't know why. Every place that I've read, it kind of strikes me funny that it's translated in the New King James Version as speaking to one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When in the strict translation, It's speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. Now, when you're speaking to yourselves, who are you speaking to? If I'm speaking to myself, who am I speaking to? And yet we've put this into a situation where it's a group activity. I'm going to come and I'm going to speak psalms to you. I'm going to speak hymns to you. I'm going to speak spiritual songs to you. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, if I'm singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord, what are you going to know about it? How are you going to know? What are you going to hear if I am singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord? You might see a smile on my face. You might see a little bounce on my body. But you're not going to know anything that's going on if I'm speaking in my heart. But I think that's just exactly what he's saying here. That what I need to do in order to be filled with the Spirit, to stay filled with the Spirit, is that I need to be speaking to me. I need to be speaking to myself. I need to have something internally generated in me that is constantly bringing up psalms, which strict definition may be scripture verses set to music, hymns, the songs of the church. Because hymns here, they didn't have the word hymn, but as far as I know that we have in English. And spiritual songs. Paul said, I sing with my understanding, I sing with my spirit. I pray with my understanding, I pray with my spirit. All of these things going on inside of me, taking up space and growing and growing and growing. Getting more prolific the more I do it. And when those things are happening, by doing these things, singing and making melody. That's another interesting thing. The literal translation of that is this. Singing and playing music in your heart. Now, I know that there's one particular denomination that doesn't believe in using musical instruments in church. And that's what they hang it on. I think it's stretching it pretty far to say that this prohibits the use of musical instruments in church. But they say, you know, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What does singing make melody in your heart? Don't do it in the congregation. Now, I'm not saying that. But, you know, I've said, and I'll say again, people use scriptures to prove some strange things from scriptures that really wasn't intended to be taken that far. Singing and making music, or playing music in your heart to the Lord. In your heart to the Lord. Now, if we don't sing psalms, sing hymns, and sing spiritual songs in our heart, and play music in our heart to the Lord, what are we going to put in there? Here's some of the alternatives. Criticism. Unforgiveness. Anger. Bitterness. Envy. Pride. Grumbling. Complaining, unthankfulness, and offense. You start entertaining criticism in your heart, what's it going to do? It's going to grow. You entertain anger in your heart, it's going to grow. It's going to start filling you up. Just like singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, is going to fill you with the presence of the Spirit of God. So these other things, if you let them go on in your heart, they're going to fill you with the presence of something. And it's not going to be the Spirit of God. And that's why you've got people that even though they're Christians and I'm going to heaven, they look like they've spent their life eating dill pickles, sucking lemons. But I guarantee you, if you fill yourself with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, quoting the Word of God, singing the Word of God, it doesn't have to be some kind of a tune. Thank you, Lord God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. There's something about music that you'll remember it better than you remember something without it. You can remember the words of songs, but you can't remember your grocery list. Put it to music, probably remember it better. There's just something in our nature about that. But when you do that, it'll start coming out of you, and you'll get to be known as the God bless you, lady.
That's right.
I'm serious. That's something that those people don't talk about just because she says it. They sense something really behind it.
Amen.
That every time you go through there, that girl must never have a bad day. It's just all the way you choose it. All the way you choose it. Giving thanks, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. Again, let me say something about for all things. Things there is a relatively narrow word. It's not an all-inclusive word. And not all-inclusive word in the sense that it doesn't mean incidences and happenings and all like that. It means things. All the things that God has given us. The things that Peter says when he said that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Doesn't mean that something bad happens and you thank God for it. It means you thank God for all of the things that He's provided. And you do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always keeping Him in front of you because you know that He is the one that made it possible.
Amen.
He's the one that made it possible. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let me expand on that just a little bit by reading it like this. Taking others into consideration and depending on one another in the fear of God. In the fear of reverence of God. Let's hear it again. Take others into consideration and depend on one another out of reverence to God. Submitting doesn't mean that one person is superior to another. It means there's an order that God has set. I don't know why we get out of order. I mean, you know, when you work somewhere, in the order of that business, unless you own the business, somebody's superior to you in their position, not as a person, but they're superior to you in the order of operation, and you got to submit to them. You're doing this job. They're paying you to do it, and you're given the responsibility of making sure that it's done, but they tell you how to do it. You start doing it some way other than what they're telling you, and if it doesn't work better, and if it works better, hallelujah, and they see that it does, and they say, oh, well, thank you for showing me that. We'll change it over and do it your way, because your way works better. Then that's wonderful. But in most cases, that's not what's going to happen. You're going to have to change and start doing it the way they've asked you to do it. And when we submit to one another in the fear of God, what we're doing is we're taking others into consideration. We're depending on others. Wouldn't you rather be able to depend on others rather than to lord it over them? But all of this comes down to being imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. First verse. Last verse. Submitting to one another in the fear of God, or out of reverence to God. Be imitators of God as dear children. Work it out together so that you're taking everyone into consideration, depending upon one another, out of reverence to God. Next Sunday's Mother's Day. I'm going to finish the chapter next Sunday. If you haven't looked ahead, you see it talks about husbands, wives. It's kind of fitting that it falls on Mother's Day. Let's bow our heads. I just want to challenge you this morning. Be an imitator of God. Keep yourself built up in the Holy Spirit by doing those things in your heart to God. You don't have to just keep them quiet in your heart. You can sing them out all around you, but that's where it starts. Starts in the heart. And if you've got some issues, you and God can take care of them. He's big enough to take care of your issues. If you're not a child of God, you need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. All you got to do is ask. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're getting ready here in just a minute to close with the communion service. And you know, the elements in that communion service, the blood represented by the wine, the body of Christ represented by the bread, is a statement of what Jesus has done for us. And by partaking of that, we're saying, I accept it. I accept the fact that Jesus died for me. I accept the fact that I'm going to live for Him. And that as we do that, we proclaim His death. We don't proclaim that just a man died. We proclaim a death that means life eternal for us. So take that into consideration and to heart. Join with us in communion here in just a minute. Father, in Jesus' name, we choose to be imitators of God and Jesus Christ. We choose, Lord God, to allow those things that are in us to be only the things that will fill us with Your Spirit. And we choose, Lord God, to take each other, take others into consideration in all of our choices, out of a reverential fear for You as part of the family, part of the family of God, citizens of the kingdom. We thank You, Lord God, for what these communion elements represent this morning. For all that You did through Jesus Christ and through His cross and through His grave and that empty tomb. All that we've received. Thank You for it. We receive now, Lord God, the elements of communion. The the juice as the blood, and the bread as the body. In Jesus' name, amen. And someone come and move my pulpit for me out of the way. What? Yeah. He's supposed to...